Hello, and welcome to this special episode of Batflips and Nerds, the podcast that gives you a British take on baseball. In this, our World Baseball Classic qualifier preview, Darius Austin and I are joined by a very special guest, Great Britain player Jordan Serena. Jordan's making his bow with the GB squad this week after spending the last year in the A-ball affiliate of the Los Angeles Angels organisation, the Burlington Bees of the Midwest League. In our chat, Jordan talks about getting drafted, his time as a college player, the differences between college ball and pro ball, and how he got the call for the GB squad. It was a brilliant half an hour, 45 minute conversation. We enjoyed having it, and I hope you guys enjoy listening to it too. That's coming up right after the jingle. So today we've got a special treat for you, as we've said. We're joined by the Great Britain baseball third baseman, Jordan Serena, who is in the Los Angeles Angels system and currently with their A-ball affiliate, the Burlington Bees. And Darius is here too. So we're going to spend the next half an hour, 45 minutes, having a chat with Jordan about his career to date, his time with Burlington, his time at college, and also what he's looking forward to in the WBC with GB. So, hi, Jordan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Great. Thanks very much. And hello to you too, Darius.
Hey, John. Good to be here. Excited to talk to Jordan.
Brilliant. So, we'll get rolling with the questions, and we'll start in the usual fashion, if you don't mind, Jordan, just to ask you to sort of introduce yourself. And I think the right place to start is in Colorado, where you grew up. You grew up in Parker in Colorado, which for those of us here in the UK, I believe that's a sort of a suburb of Denver. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct. Just about 20 minutes south of Denver. But I was born in Littleton, which is just 15 minutes up the road. Lived my whole life in the same house in Parker, so... Yeah, it's been, you know, born and raised Colorado native.
And have you played baseball all your life then? Is that what you've wanted to do since you were a little kid growing up in Parker?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing baseball when I was probably three. You know, you start with T-ball, three or four. I'm just hitting the ball off the tee, running around with a bunch of kids. But I also played basketball and football. So I was pretty busy as a kid. When I was young, my parents always encouraged me to play everything and always for fun, so it wasn't ever like a, you know, I want to make a career of this type of thing. But you know, as I got older, it kind of started becoming clear I could probably do something with baseball, so that's kind of how the path went.
And so what sort of age was that for you then, that it started to get serious?
Probably high school time. I still played basketball and football in high school just because I loved it. But high school was kind of when I started, you know, realizing I was, you know, pretty advanced baseball player, and had the athleticism to get that much better. And you know, I figured probably go to college and try to play baseball, and if I focus on one sport, I, you know, who knows how good I could get. So that's what ended up happening.
So you were one of these guys who in your high school was the sort of the star of all the teams. You were just a baseball guy then.
No, in high school I was a pretty good football and basketball player too. In high school, I was, you know, I almost quit basketball my senior year of high school, ended up playing still. But, you know, baseball has always been kind of what I concentrated on the most. So, you know, played baseball all summer, spring into summer, and then football was just fall, and then basketball in the winter. So,
And for those of us, I would probably include Darius and I, as we're probably not as avid followers of the NILB as we will be after next week when we get to know all of you a little bit better. What kind of player are you? What position do you play, and what kind of player as you are as a hitter, and so on? If you could just give us a bit of an intro as to Jordan Serena, the baseball player.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you mentioned third base earlier, and I kind of chuckle when people put a position by my name, because I kind of play all over the place. I've kind of done that my whole life. I played shortstop. Well, I actually started off playing first base as a kid. Moved to shortstop at as a little bit older kid and into high school, played shortstop. And then college, played middle infield for 1 year and then moved out to center field. So, and then in pro ball, I've actually played every position except pitcher and catcher. So I kind of, I've kind of roamed around a little bit in that aspect. Like you said, third base. Third is where I spent most of the year, pretty much the backup shortstop. I played a couple weeks in center, probably 20, 30 games in center field. So, defensively, I'm real, real versatile player. I can move around. I can do a lot of things. So, as a hitter, it's kind of the same. It's funny too, because we got a couple fast guys in this team, so I probably won't be at the top of the lineup. But in college, I hit at the top of the lineup. I could steal some bases in college. As you move up, players get better around you. People get faster. So, I've kind of moved more into the middle of the lineup role. I hit in the fourth spot most of this last year, and then sometimes towards the bottom of the order, and 7, 8, 9 in places. So kind of versatile there as well.
So a bit of an all-rounder.
Yep, bit of an all-rounder. I can I'm pretty good at adjusting to whatever team needs, or just using that as to my advantage to move up.
You went to college in at Columbia, which even those with a sort of passing knowledge of American schools will recognize that as an academic, a very academic school. So I was interested as to whether it was just a baseball first focus for you, or whether it was the split of the two things that took you there. And I don't know if you were recruited. I think that's something that's always interests US sports watchers over in the UK, who maybe don't really understand that because we don't have anything equivalent. So what brought you to Columbia? Why did you end up there?
Yeah, I got recruited. I was actually in high school. I had no intention of, I didn't even think about East Coast schools. So, but I had pretty good grades, my whole life. My parents, they're not tough, but they said, hey, you have to have good grades or you can't play. So it's just something I've always done. And it worked out great because, when we're kids, we're always told, if you have good grades, you can go anywhere and play. It always helps. So, and that's 100% true for us. So I went out to a baseball camp in California at Stanford University, and they had like 75 schools there, and the Columbia coaches saw me play there. So, to answer your question, yeah, it was both their baseball program and the school. You can't pass up an education like that while playing baseball. So that's kind of both things led into that decision.
For those of those people who aren't familiar with the college level as well, what kind of level is Columbia baseball? Is that considered one of the better baseball programs in the States?
It's not typically considered one of the better ones because it's Ivy League. So most people think of Ivy League as, they don't have many athletes that go there. It's mostly just students, smart kids that go there. But, all 4 years I was there, we traveled country, we play top 25 teams, we compete with them. It's Division I, so we play, the big baseball schools like you hear, Texas A&M, Miami, all those schools. So we play against them, we got better every year I was there, competing better and better with them. So it's kind of an up-and-coming sports conference, the Ivy League is, but a ton of people don't really know it as such because most people are just so used to, just really smart students going there for med school and whatnot. So
how was that side of things? How was it to be a sports first guy at a place like that? Did you feel like in the opposite comparison to somewhere like Texas, you were the odd one out there, really?
Right there, you're kind of forced to. It's not really a sports first anymore there because you have to, you got to manage your time well enough to get your work done. And, there's obviously quite the emphasis on academics, but, it just takes a certain kind of person to be able to do that to, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but
go for it.
Yeah. Just to, figure out how to try to get better at baseball and have that still as a goal, but to try to use what you have at hand in the degree you're going for, to try to use that in your life as well. it just, you know, it's something when I was getting recruited, I was like, dang, I mean, the baseball here is great. Obviously I'm getting a great education. So I'd be stupid not to take advantage of that.
And how did the team do in the 4 years that you spent at Columbia, and how did you do?
Yeah, so my freshman year, we had a pretty good team. We didn't play terribly well. We didn't win our conference. I think we finished third in conference. And then sophomore through senior year, we won the conference all 3 years. So I have three Ivy League championship rings, which is pretty special. And then after you win your conference, you go play in the, I don't know if you guys follow that much, but there's like a regional tournament, and then a super regional series after that, and then the College World Series after that. So each year we played in the regionals. Each year we got better in the regionals. We didn't win. Actually, we won one game my freshman year. One game my sophomore year. We had a little bit tougher draw. My junior year didn't play as well in the regionals. We were out. And then my senior year, we made the championship game and lost to Miami. So that was kind of tough, but you know, like I said, we competed all 3 of the years. Personally, I got better all 3 of those years. Just, you know, maturity level mentally, probably the biggest thing that I improved upon in college, which really thankful for. Like I said, I spent a lot of time in center field, so that's kind of where I got really. Much more versatile as a player in college. So I was still our backup shortstop and we play games there. So it's college in general.
So sort of moving on from that, I guess the next step to talk about is drafting, unless Darius has got any more questions.
I was very curious to hear about what it was like. Did you know that the Angels were going to pick you on draft day? And, you know, how did it play out actually on the day?
The draft is a crazy time for everybody. It's nobody really knows where they're going, who's going to take them. Some guys have an idea, you know, top guys that get taken in the top 5 rounds have an idea. But you know, that was never me. I didn't get talked to a lot by teams. So I had really no idea going in, and it's a 3-day draft. So the first day is the first, second rounds. The second day is 3 through 10. And then the third day is 11 through 40. So I went on the third day, and it's a stressful day indeed. I mean, you're watching the thing, you're watching the ticker go by, all these kids getting taken, you have friends that are getting drafted, and you know, it's every young baseball player's dream as a kid to, you know, get drafted and play professional baseball. So there's a lot on the line on a Twitter feed that you just watch all day. So it's a pretty stressful day. And then, you know, finally got taken in the 35th round by the Angels. I was actually at a Colorado Rockies game, the major league team in Denver, just to get my mind off of it. But I didn't watch any of the game because I was staring at my phone the whole time. So saw my name go, had to, you know, walk outside to the concourse and got a phone call from the general manager, and you know, rest is kind of history. That's how it goes.
You weren't sat there in the bleachers at Coors Field whooping whilst the Rockies were a few down, were you?
No, I went out back to, you know, nobody was out there because, you know, shed a few tears, as you could probably guess. Yeah, no, I wasn't around anybody. My brother was with me though, and I, you know, he saw I got taken, so he came out, and yeah, it was great.
So it was, I mean, there was no expect. Was I mean, you were obviously hoping, but there was no expectation for you that you were going to get taken. It was just hope, and you found out from Twitter, not from any phone calls or anything like that.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it, definitely not an expectation to go. You end up before the draft, you fill out like some paperwork for teams, so they have you, like they have your information when they're in the draft room. But that's pretty much it. Like for lower round guys like me, they don't, you know, they kind of just take them as they go, as the draft goes. So they don't really know who they're going to take beforehand. Yeah, it's a really weird system. And then, you know, I got a text from the Angel scout, like, you know, 10 seconds before I got drafted. So he was like, here, you're getting drafted this round. So, and I got drafted. So, that, yeah, that's pretty much it. Really no, like, heads up, like, you know, that day or nothing like that.
And then what happens immediately after? You said you had to go and talk to the GM. Was that it? Would be Jeremy Porter, was it? Or was it just the GM for your Able team or what?
No, it was actually Scott Service. He's an assistant GM. I actually know him. I played with and against his son, Tyler Service. He's from about 20 minutes from my house at home. And then he went to Princeton also. So he gave me a call, and you know, we were just chit-chatting. Hey, congrats. You know, they tell you kind of why they drafted you, you know, what to expect, you know, where you're going, obviously, you know, when you're going to head out. So that's pretty much all that phone call is, just kind of logistical things.
And where was it that you went directly after that? Where was the first step for you?
So I started in the AZL, the Arizona Summer League, which is like most guys that are there, there's a lot of high school guys there, and there's a lot of Latin players there. It's not a conventional minor league team. You stay in the spring training complex, and you just play the other AZL team. So it's really no travel. You sleep in the same bed every night. Yeah, it's long. It's long. It's hot. It's there's no fans. So that's kind of where about half the draft class starts. So it's an interesting starting place. But that was my first taste of pro ball.
Wondering, could you tell straight away, was the competition level immediately better or just different? What was it like when you got to that level and met those new players? Could you tell a difference straight away, or was it kind of similar to what you'd experienced at the college level?
You know, it wasn't far off. There, like I said, there's a lot of young Latin players who have, you know, really high ceiling, really good talent, but they're not quite honed in yet. You know, pitching wise, there was a lot of guys, you know, throwing real hard, high velocity guys, but kind of all over the place, which you don't really see in college. But then you'll come across college guys who are pretty much the same as you've been seeing in college. So, but it's kind of, you know, it's like the two or three good guys from each staff are now, you know, on the pro staff. So just, you know, the level just jumps up a little bit. It's not, you know, it wasn't terribly different though going in. So it wasn't like a huge shock for me going in.
We were both interested in, I mean, this is both in the AZL and where you are now in the Midwest League. Is there anything that you could do as a college player or even as a high school player that you can't do anymore, or anything that, you know, that your coaches sort of direct you to do? And just interested to know what your daily routine is really as a minor league baseball player.
I'd say the biggest difference from college to pro ball is just the amount of games you play and, you know, and how quickly you play them, and, you know, in rapid succession you play every single day in pro ball. In college you play, I mean, we played four games on the weekend and then one during the week, so we'd have, you know, practice days. But pro ball, you don't practice, so, you know, it becomes a little more taxing on the body in pro ball. So I'd say the biggest thing is just figuring out how to, you know, manage your energy, keep your body in a place that you can play. Obviously, you know, when you're practicing in college, it's, you know, it's kind of an all out deal. You know, you're practicing, getting ready for one day, 2 days of playing. But pro ball, it's kind of just an everyday routine. So you have to kind of figure out how to be ready to go, getting better, but you still have to be able to play the game. So that's probably the biggest difference.
Is there a philosophy that the Angels sort of, as soon as you got there, they said, we want you to do this, you know, we want you to try and take more walks or see more pitches or anything like that? Was there something they tried to drill into you, or was it more a case of they just want to see what you've got?
Yeah, early on in your, you know, like last year when I started, they don't say much. They, you know, they kind of give you their team philosophy, which tends to change from coach to coach sometimes. I mean, there's a general philosophy, but, you know, every hitting coach on a team has their different things they like to talk about. But, you know, for the most part in pro ball, they want you to be you, and, you know, they understand you got there for a reason. So they want to see, you know, what you can do, how you adjust when nobody says anything to you, you know, things like that. So it's not a big, you know, You have to do this, you have to do that. You know, something they always say is it's your career. So, I mean, coaches will even be like, hey, you can try this, you can try that, but you know, if you don't want to, it's your career. So, yeah, they don't strangle you with that kind of stuff typically. You know, coaches will come and be like, hey, I really think it's best for you to do this. You know, it's a discussion a lot of times too. So that's a good thing about pro ball.
Just sort of coming back to that point you made about finding a routine being difficult. I know notoriously that one of the things that is particularly difficult about life in the minor leagues is the time spent on the road and the amount of travel and doing that without all the mod cons of the major league guys. You know, you're traveling around in buses, you're staying in flea pit hotels and so on. Does that make it particularly hard to find that routine? And you know, if it does, what have you done to try and get on top of that?
Yeah, it makes it a little more difficult. That kind of just, you know, being on the bus and being in a new hotel, that kind of just, you know, becomes part of the routine in a way, if that makes any sense. yeah, just little things like, you know, when you get the chance to be in bed on time, you have to be in bed on time. You know, sometimes you don't eat the greatest on the road. There's not a ton of options, but you know, every little fast food time you take, you know, they kind of add up into you not feeling great. So you got to really do your best to you know, find better options, you know, food wise, just little stuff like that. And, you know, over a long season, you're playing so many games at all, it does add up. So, I mean, you have to put in the effort to make that routine something that you know is going to help you every day. So
there.
Great. And so you.
I was having a look through the players who've been in the Midwest League this year, and I see there's some pretty high level prospects there. Eloy Jimenez of the Cubs and Eisen Diaz of the Brewers. Is there anyone in particular that you played with or against this year that you thought, wow, this guy is going to make it? You know, he's really got big league talent, or is it not that obvious on a game to game basis?
You know, there's a couple guys every once in a while. It's funny you mentioned Diaz, is like when you said that, he was my first thought. He's a really good player. The first time we played him, he was actually struggling. So he was hitting like 200, and he had pretty good power numbers, a couple home runs and stuff. But then we played him at the end of the year and he was like close to 300. He had 16 home runs. And so he was going off, and he's awesome in the field too. So he's probably the biggest, you know, prospect that we played. I played against him last summer too, and saw him and was like, holy cow, I would be surprised if I don't see this guy in the big league. So it's funny though, you know, in minor league baseball, I mean, if a guy's really playing well, you know, they tend to get moved up quick, especially if they're a prospect. So a lot of the times you only see guys like that, you know, maybe once, if you don't play them when they're, you know, maybe you don't play that team when somebody's playing well and they're there and they get moved up. You might not even see him, so it just depends who you play. And Eisen Diaz happened to be in the Midwest League all summer, so he's actually really fun to watch.
And what about you? How happy have you been with your year this year in Burlington? Has it been a sort of solid progression? Do you feel like you've really taken a step forward?
Oh, absolutely. I started off a little slow. I didn't have a great year last year. I didn't hit the ball terribly well. I started off a little slow this year, but, you know, just didn't get discouraged, kept at it. I got a lot better, you know, with approach, like at the plate, what pitches I was swinging at, confidence-wise, you know, not worrying about who's pitching as much. And it really showed. I was hitting, you know, I don't look at the stats, you know, hardly at all during the season, but I know I think in July and August, I had to have hit like close to over 300. So, I mean, if I didn't get a hit every day, it was kind of weird for me because I was playing really consistently towards the end of the summer. So I was really pleased with that. That was really the first time that I had done that in pro ball. So it was a really good way to end this year, and hopefully take that right into next year and this tournament especially.
Yeah. So what are your targets for next year? Are you looking for another year of steady progress in Burlington, or are you hoping to be in high A squad at the start of next year?
Yeah, I mean, you're always hoping to move up. If you spend, you know, more than 1 year in a place, that's typically not a good thing. So I'm hoping to start the year in High A, which is in California for us. You know, coming out of spring training, that's kind of the biggest part of spring training, is not necessarily a tryout, but they have an idea where you'll go, but, you know, they have to get a second look at you in spring training to start it off. So, yeah, I'm hoping to start in High A next year and work my way up from there.
Great. And just a sort of a couple of other questions about life in the minor leagues, just to touch on before we come on to the tournament for next week. Mm-hmm. The first one I'm always interested to hear about is, what happens for you in Burlington? How do you live? I mean, I know a lot in a lot of indie ball towns, the players stay with host families. How does it work for you? Do you live with teammates? You live with the host family?
Yeah. So in Burlington, you know, we got really lucky there. They have a host family system for us. They have one of the assistant GMs for the team for Burlington specifically. She puts together, you know, we fill out paperwork and she puts us with a family. I actually stayed with a really awesome family that, you know, I'll be close to probably the rest of my life. So that's kind of a cool deal when you get to do that, because it's not, you know, you're not going home to a crappy apartment that, you know, five other guys are staying in, which does happen on a lot of minor league teams. You know, I have friends, that play elsewhere and I've talked to them about it, and it becomes hard when they have you do that. So yeah, we got lucky in Burlington with that. So I got to stay with a really, really good host family in a good home atmosphere.
And the other thing is the off season. Now I know minor league players aren't paid during the off season. So what happens for you? What are you doing? Are you going to be back home in Parker? Do you have a job? Are you doing any coaching on the side or anything like that?
Yeah. So I go home. I'm extremely lucky with my situation, because my older brother has his own business. It's called Rogue Baseball Performance, out of Highlands Ranch, Colorado, which is just down the street. And he's a baseball coach, specifically hitting. You know, he does some defense stuff too. But so he's actually my hitting coach, and he has his own facility with a batting cage. So I got lucky in that aspect where I can go home and I can hit with him all off season. And then he actually shares the building with a weight trainer who does specifically baseball players, some football guys, but he works [S2] Wow. [S1] with some pro baseball players. Kevin Gausman has worked out there before. Greg Bird with the Yankees has been there. Some minor league guys too, but he's really great too. So it's called Push Performance. So yeah, it's an amazing situation that I get to go home to. And then, you mentioned a job. I'm actually lucky in that aspect too. I'm helping my older brother coach. He has a fall team. They're in Albuquerque right now, so I'm missing this weekend, but, I'll be coaching after this tournament with them. So earn a little bit of money doing that.
Excellent. So yeah, it sounds like you've got it made, which I know I'm sure a lot of your teammates and people who you play against maybe haven't. So, you know,
I've got it pretty good compared to a lot of guys. You know, I hear a lot of guys having to get side jobs and stuff they don't want to do. So I'm very lucky. Yep.
Guys listening over here in the UK will no doubt have done some sleuthing and noticed that you don't have an English accent, you don't have a Scottish accent, you don't have a Welsh accent. So, I guess the big question is, how do you qualify? How do you find yourself playing for GB this coming week in Brooklyn?
Yep. So my mother was actually born in Suffolk County in Ipswich. I'm not exactly sure where that is. So she was born there, and she spent 4 years there, and then ended up moving to the States. So my grandpa was a United States Air Force member, and he was stationed in Britain somewhere, and met my grandma, who's, you know, all of her whole family is British. So I've got, you know, some knowledge, you know, some British background knowledge. My grandma's always talking to us about stuff. So it's always something I've, you know, been proud of. And, you know, this is actually, you know, this came along and, it was perfect opportunity for me to, you know, join in.
And how did it come along? I recall from my conversation with Liam that these things sort of have sort of come from all sorts of places. So did you find out about GB baseball? Did Liam find out about you? And how did he? How was contact made between you in terms of joining the team next week in the first instance?
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story. I was in Burlington, and one of my teammates, I just overheard him talking to a couple guys, and I heard Great Britain baseball, World Baseball Classic qualifier in September, and I was like, I just kept listening. It sounded like he was trying to, I think he's a little more distantly British than I am. He was trying to get hooked up. I think he was talking to Liam over email, and so I went over and I was like, hey, are you playing for Team Great Britain? He's like, yeah, I'm trying to. And I was like, well, my mom was born in Britain. Can I play? And he was like, yeah, you should email this guy. So, it's funny, actually, he didn't give me, Liam's email. Another kid on the team who's Australian had a friend who knew Liam. So I had two like random hookups on the Burlington team that got me in touch with Liam finally. And I just emailed him and said, hey, my mom was born in Britain. I'm, pretty much half British. Can I play on the team? That's basically how it went. And, from there we just kept talking, and it ended up where we are today.
Wow. So it's that easy. Yeah. I think I might email him after this.
All right.
Yeah. I play in the Greater London Softball Mixed League. Slow pitch. Can I play? I think I know what the answer will be. So, and what's your correspondence been with Liam? Has he been in touch with you across the season, keeping an eye on how you've been doing? Do you know if he's been watching your games or anything, what's the nature of the conversation between you two guys?
I'm not sure about much of that. We've chit-chatted pretty much over email since probably early August. Just mostly logistical stuff, but we spoke on the phone one time. He was in California doing some stuff, so we didn't have to deal with the time difference and whatnot. So he gave me a call. We spoke on the phone for a decent amount of time, just some logistical stuff, some more baseball specific things, and that was pretty much it. And just got travel plans coming out here, and really excited to be here.
Great. And so how are you feeling? How are you feeling about it next week then?
I don't know what to expect. I haven't watched much World Baseball Classic stuff go on. Obviously I know what it is, and watched the championship rounds a couple of years ago, but I didn't even know they had qualifiers. So I'm kind of, really excited to just, see how it goes, and hearing from some of the coaches who have played in it before, and just sounds like an amazing experience. And one of the most exciting things is meeting a whole new group of guys who, have a similar background to me. Some guys on the team have, just parents who are British, haven't been there. Some of us want to go, things like that. So just to relate, in this game, just the relationships you make with people is probably, one of the biggest things. And this is just another opportunity to do so in a different.
Is everybody on the team new to you, or had you met anybody else from the States beforehand?
Everybody's new. So, there was one guy, we only have about, I think, 11 players here today. The rest of the team is coming on Tuesday. But there was one guy, the baseball community is so small and smaller than you think in the U.S. So there's one guy on the team from California, and we got to talking, and he's good friends with a kid I played with in college. So it's just, little things like that when you meet people, and it just makes it fun.
Yeah, I got that impression from Liam when he was telling the story about how Trevor Hoffman ended up in his bullpen.
It's crazy.
Everyone knows everyone.
Right.
It's obviously going to be a fun week. There's some pretty illustrious players playing on some of the opposition. I asked the same question of Liam, and he was quite sanguine about it. But I wonder if you'll have a different answer about how are you going to feel on Thursday night if you get a chance to step into the batter's box and face off against World Series winner Craig Breslow with World Series winner Ryan LaVanway stood behind you, crouching behind you. I imagine that'll be pretty surreal, will it?
To be honest with you, I haven't even looked at the other rosters. So
they're going to be playing for Israel.
Yeah, well, cool. I'll try to hit one out off them then. You know, that's that's the name of this game. You know, it doesn't matter really who's on the other team, because, you know, they still have to throw the ball in the strike zone, and we get to hit it. So, yeah, I mean, I put forth a pretty good effort in, you know, not worrying about who's on the other team and none of that. So, you know, I think Israel is the favorite or something. You know, that's really not a big deal for me. You know, I'm just going to try to get better every day as we get there, and, you know, get to know my team, and we're going to go win this thing. That's how we're going and thinking about it. So
that's good to hear. I was going to come on to that. I'm just sort of ask you how things have gone today. You said that there's been 11 of you there today. How's everything? How's the feeling? How are you guys? Are you doing a bit of bonding already? How's everyone getting along?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you know, if you get a bunch of baseball players together, everybody's got something in common, so it's hard not to, you know, get along pretty easy. So, you know, it was pretty low key today. We just went through, you know, basic stuff, took some ground balls, hit a little bit, and, you know, just talked with the other guys a lot. So, that was pretty much it. It started off really good though. Kind of, you know, eager to get the rest of the team here.
I think a lot of them are in the Netherlands, right? They've been playing right in the Euros, so I guess that they're getting a few days off.
Yep, that's what Liam told us. Liam actually was here today. He flew straight in and came out to practice, so that's what he was telling us.
Yeah, I get the impression Liam works every hour God sends and then tries to pretend that he doesn't.
Right, I get the same feeling.
Yeah. So for you next week, it's all about the experience, really. It's not about, you know, putting yourself in the shop window, trying to, or is it? Is some of this about, you know, trying to show the Angels that you're a guy who can take a step forward next year?
I mean, I think that's a byproduct of, you know, working hard and, you know, just trying to have fun and play well. It'd be great if, you know, Angels people were watching and I play well and they're like, oh, you know, maybe get a different impression of me that they might not have had. That would be awesome, but that's not really something that I can control. So, you know, I'm going in, you know, I get a week of working out with these guys and I'm playing with a great team and, you know, trying to get better while I'm here. And we'll go from there after that, you know.
Great. I think my questions are done. I don't know about you, Darius. Did you have anything else?
I was just going to ask one more thing. Just with the English connection to your family, are they excited? Did they know much about the WBC beforehand? And has this made them a lot more interested in it now?
Yeah, everybody's pretty excited. You know, my mom's siblings, you know, they've been raised by a British, their mom's British, you know, my grandmother. So they know why I'm here. And, you know, that, you know, I get a lot of people that are like, hey, you're British. I'm like, yeah, my mom's British. So, it's kind of been funny in that way, but, yeah, my grandma didn't know, you know, anything about baseball before she came here, but she loves it now. So it's kind of pretty exciting for her. You know, she's watched me grow up and play baseball my whole life. And now she gets to watch me play baseball and, you know, for her home country. So it's been pretty cool for her for sure.
And you said, you sort of touched on a little bit earlier, you'd like to come over and visit, so when are you gonna be here? Are you gonna be here in the autumn? Or?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's always, you know, I pretty much haven't left the U.S. I went to Canada briefly, but that's, you know, not much different anyway. So I've always wanted to go. You know, I have family in Britain. Not exactly sure where again, but it's just always something I've, you know, it's been around me my whole life. So I've always wanted to explore that and see what you guys have going on over there for sure. I'm not, you know, I don't have much to do in the off season, so it might happen soon. I don't know. We'll see.
I guess it depends how your brother's full league team goes.
That's right. Yep. For sure. That ends like early October. So, you know, after that, you know.
Oh, well. Yeah. Well,
yeah. It gets cold in Colorado, so you can't play baseball for too long.
No, that's true. But mind you, if it's cold here as well.
Yeah.
And it rains a lot.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Okay, great. So all that remains for us is to say thanks for your time. I think we can find you on social media. So do you want to give a shout out for your Twitter or your Instagram account just so guys can follow you next week?
Yeah, sure. You know, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. It's at jserena4, so jserena4 for both accounts. Yeah, that'd be great. You know, I pretty much just, I say random things on Twitter and post some baseball pictures. So I'm not too fun on social media, but for sure, if you want to give it a follow.
Well, I think we absolutely should. As GB baseball fans, we should be getting behind you, and certainly we'll be doing that next year, whether you're in Burlington or in sunnier climes in California. I think you've probably made a number of new fans already, and hopefully we'll continue to do so next week. Same for us. You can find us on Twitter at @batflips_nerds. You can find me on Twitter. If you haven't heard my handle before, I'm not going to say it out loud in front of Jordan. Darius, where can we find you on Twitter?
You can find me at DariusA64.
And if you've enjoyed this program, please do tell a friend. Tell them to tune in. Jordan, please tell all of your friends to download the podcast and listen in. And rate us on iTunes. So thanks very much, Jordan, and we'll be keeping an eye on you next week. I believe your first game is on Thursday the 22nd against Israel at that 7 p.m. Eastern time, so 12 p.m. Midnight here in the UK. So looking forward to first pitch, and hopefully we'll see you out there at the hot corner, maybe even in center field. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.